I bid you welcome.
Cara mia. We all go a little mad sometimes.
We accept a one of us. We accept a one of us.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Wolfman's got an art.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Home is Where the Horror Is, a podcast dedicated to all things horror and everything we love. I'm your host, Brian.
And I'm Monica.
It's Christmas time.
It is.
And, I believe I said last episode with my pick I was going to get a little more serious.
That didn't happen.
I think I fucked up.
You did.
My original pick for this week was going to be Gremlins. Fine, great movie. One of my favorite Christmas movies. Is it horror? I don't know. But we didn't go that way because we saw a preview. Well, I don't even want to say we saw a preview. We saw a picture of something we thought was a fake movie. And we found out it was real. And I said, you know what? It's actually available. Should we do it? Monica agreed we should do it, but ultimately the blame lies with me. So I messed up here. And this week we watched Santa Jaws.
It was interesting.
And for those of you who have been smart enough or don't know about this movie, you're the lucky ones. But as the title suggests, yes, it is a great white shark that is, I don't want to say dressed up like Santa, but it's a killer shark that has all the atypical Christmas garb you would expect. I can't believe we actually have to review this. All right.
You chose it.
It is on me. So let me just say it was released in 2018. It was made for TV. It's during the Sharknado week.
That makes sense.
So Sharknado is notoriously bad, but Sharknado has something that this movie doesn't, and there's a thing called entertainment factor.
You didn't find this entertaining?
Sure didn't, babe. There's a whole bunch of movies actually made for these Sharknado weeks, and apparently the director, Misty Talley, has made a couple. So, Misty, not that you're listening to this podcast, but got to do something else. These movies, they're no. I'll mention the writer, Jake Clearman. Honestly, he pisses me off too. And then the cast are all people you've probably never seen. We have the lead, Cody, who's played by Reed Miller, who looks like Edward Furlong. That was the name I couldn't remember.
Oh, okay, like from, yeah, like
from Terminator 2. Yeah. Jenna, his crush, is played by Courtney Cummings. And Peter, his friend, is played by Jim Clark. So, all right. I'm going to try to summarize this ridiculousness as best I can. So, Cody is a bit of an outcast. And him and his buddy love to draw comics. They're obsessed with comics. And he actually gets grounded on Christmas Eve when the principal calls his parents and shares with them like an inappropriate comic he drew of the principal himself. He's really upset that teenage angst is going, and his grandfather, who has a weird like Santa Claus beard and is just really over the top goofy, gives him a present that has, it's like this magical pen that has the ability to bring whatever you draw to life. So the kid doesn't know this, and in his anger for being grounded on Christmas Eve, he starts actually redrawing his comic Santa Jaws. And soon enough, wouldn't you know, the very next day, he finds out firsthand that Santa Jaws is real. So Cody and his friend and eventually the rest of his family are attempting to stop Santa Jaws before it tears through the entire town. The only other thing I'll add in there is that, you know, this great white shark cannot be hurt by anything except for it has to be Christmas themed. And I'm sure we'll get into that. But yeah. So if that plot doesn't sound ridiculous enough, the movie is just, I don't even know what to say about this. But before we go into if we loved anything and what we hated, why don't you give us a postmortem breakdown, babe?
All right. So there were 11 people that were killed.
Decent body count.
One alligator and one shark.
Yep.
Although the alligator was like a stuffed alligator.
Shark wasn't much better because it was CG.
No sex, no nudity. There was one fall, 7 screams, 1 Murphy's Law, and reoccurring, we went with bad Christmas jokes.
And let's clarify, it wasn't just bad Christmas jokes. It was any one-liners, double entendres, whatever you want to call them, where it's like, the shark is coming. He's like, looks like Santa Jaws is coming to town.
Yeah.
So just terrible, terribly written. Once again, Jake Clearman, you fuck for writing these things. How many of those were there, babe?
13.
So we had more instances of that than we did actual kills. So, yeah. I'm going to let you go with what you loved.
Well, it was different. It was a different idea. There wasn't
sure
a whole lot to go on, but
I'll give you different.
Yeah,
that's it was
different.
I'll give you. You know what? Okay, it was different. Okay. Anything else?
No, that's about it.
Only thing I could even. I initially had nothing. As ridiculous as it was, I love they just had to, every chance they get, stuff something into the shark to make it more Christmassy. It pisses you off right off the bat. The shark is wearing a Santa Claus hat. But then on top of that, he's got Christmas lights wrapped around his body. Eventually, towards the end, he chews on some Christmas balls. So his teeth are Christmas ball shards. And a giant candy cane is in his head. And we don't need to go into why. It's just there. But the thing that really pisses me off, how many times during the movie did something about to happen and I called it out? The thing that drives me up a wall is one of the characters has this big, like, collar of jingle bells. The bells around them. And, you know, sure enough, he dies and it goes around the shark. So now when you see the shark, you know, remember that movie Jaws, babe? You know, what's the sound you heard when Jaws was coming?
Dun it, dun it.
And what do you hear now when Santa Jaws is coming?
Jingle balls.
Jingle balls. So they literally draped the shark in Christmas. So that was the thing that made me feel like they are taking, like, this is goofy, but it just didn't go goofy enough. Hate. Let me start. You know what? Let me start.
Everything?
I have a lot. No, I'm specific with it. To teeter off of what I was just talking about. I feel like if they did go full goofy, like Sharknado went full yeah. goofy, there were people trying to, like, legit act.
Yes.
And it's like, that's when it gets made worse. And it's not even like, I feel like they were legit trying to act bad, or maybe they really were just that bad of an actor. I don't know. I'm not sure. That was terrible in general. There wasn't a solid actor in the bunch. The sound design. And when I mean that, I mean two things. One, there is a lot of instances of dubbing we saw, which was done really poorly. But just the sounds themselves, like the music used, like every time they had the Christmas music, I don't know what the hell it was supposed to be. It's just terrible. I get it was probably super low budget, but you could have put a little effort. And those goddamn son of a bitching one-liners. All of it. That and the rest of the movie.
I mean, I did the audio because the audio was just off a little bit. Like, if they were talking and there was music in the background, like, they basically dubbed over, like, with the audio. So yeah. It just kind of, I hate that when, like, I'm looking at it and you can just tell it looks like it's lip-synced. Like, yeah. It's not right.
That's it? That was your only problem with this movie? You're getting me scared for what the hell your score is going to be.
A plus.
You know what? Nothing would goddamn Halloween, C plus. You know what's funny? When we watch these movies and we talk about, here's scenes we want to talk about. I didn't have scenes I wanted to talk about. And then I thought back. I said, okay, I only have three that I really want to hit on.
I don't have many.
I guess first, and you're not shocked because we talked about it, the opening scene.
Yes.
That opening scene actually gave me hope for the movie because it was that ridiculousness that I was looking for. So, spoiler, if you want to call it that, Cody is like, you're getting a live action version of Cody's comic that he already drew. And you see this girl, she's tied up, and there's an evil Santa Claus, if you will. And this guy, for some reason, with a shirtless vest, kind of reminds me of Mac from It's Always Sunny, shows up with a shotgun, and he starts challenging Santa, and he puts it down to fight him with his fist. And they're fighting, and the guy gets kicked in the balls, and there's jingling bells once again. So that fight sets up ridiculousness. Santa gets knocked into the water, and the shark eats him. And then you see the shark, like Finn, pick up the hat. And I was like, okay, that's ridiculous. But you know what? Like, I can almost buy that. And that was, like, pissing me off a little bit, but I could have accepted it. And then you find out it's all a dream. Because then, as we said, the real way Santa Jaws is born is even more ridiculous than that. So I liked where their head was at for that opening. I wish they would have went down
that
path.
Just kept going with
it. Yeah.
So mine is when, so this is after Cody, you know, draws the Santa Jaws after he's been grounded, and him and his grandfather are down at the pier fishing, and Santa Jaws jumps out and grabs the grandfather, and like he runs to the family and he's like, Grandpa just got eaten by a shark, and everyone's like, just stop playing, just go to your room. Like, no one believes him at all.
They won't even go up because they're like, he's probably sleeping. We don't want to disturb. It's beyond ridiculous. Like, why would the kid, why would any kid make, of all the things you could make up, why would you be like, Grandpa got eaten by a shark?
Yeah. It was like halfway through the movie. They're like, he was right. Mm-hmm. Papa.
It really bothered me that everyone said Papa. It just something very weird. And by the way, things I hated, that kid Cody and his friend, there was something weird with their voices.
Yeah.
Like, they either both had a lisp or something.
I think they're just, like, prepubescent. Like, they didn't go through.
I don't know. It was annoying, though.
Puberty yet.
But, yeah, that scene was pretty bad. The candy cane scene.
The big one?
The big one.
Okay.
Yeah. So, as I said, only Christmas type things can hurt Santa Jaws. So finally the kid gets the bright idea, and it takes him almost till the end of the movie. Why don't we just use this magical pen to draw things to hurt the shark? And at first he draws ornaments that fall into the water.
No, he took away the shark's teeth, remember?
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, he erased like the shark's teeth in the book because he didn't want to draw like the shark being dismembered, right? He was afraid another shark would manifest. So he erased his teeth, and like before this they had the idea that Christmassy things could hurt them. So they got like gunpowder and like put them in Christmas balls and were trying to like blow up the shark.
Yeah.
But here they had a whole bunch of
extra
ornaments sitting on the dock, and when he erased his teeth, that's when the shark bumped into it and
they form perfect shark teeth as he chewed them.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's trying things, and his brother goes like, well, why can't you just impale him with something? So this kid's a good drawer, but for some reason he draws this giant candy cane, which just so happens to look like a goddamn narwhal horn, in the shark's head. Sure enough, you see this candy cane manifest above the water. It shoots in the water, hits Santa Jaws in the head, and guess what? Now he's got an extra weapon. He's got this goddamn, I don't know, 4-foot candy cane horn sticking out of his head. That was, where I really, really was checking out. I was like, this is ridiculous.
I thought it was funny, the elf. So there was an elf that was sitting on the dock. Well, he was dressed as an elf.
I was going to say,
he was dressed
as a drunk.
It was a drunk dressed as an elf, and he has his feet in the water. And Santa Jaws comes up and bites his legs off. And then all of a sudden, like, the kids are coming onto the dock, and he's literally walking on the nub that was just bitten.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of crawling, he's just standing
up.
And
he's screaming the whole time. He's like, ah, help me. And then Santa Jaws just jumps out and, like, side grabs him. Yeah. That was, okay, I'll give you that. That was a funny
that
scene.
That was pretty funny.
The final scene I'll talk about. Their big master plan, and the whole plot of this film, like, aside from the Jaws, is that Cody's parents run a restaurant, and basically every Christmas they throw this big dinner for, like, the town. It's their way of giving back. And apparently his mom's turkeys are, like, the best thing in the world. That's all they keep talking about. So the dad is a physics teacher, and his whole thing is, like, all right, we need to build something big that can take him down. So you see, like, this is where they do a half-assed attempt to do, like, an 80s-style montage. Like, he's like, all right, we know the plan. You see them building stuff, and you have no idea. But at the end, they basically constructed a ghetto catapult that has a roasting pan at the end, and they're going to use the mother's three turkeys filled with
gunpowder
to blow up Santa Jaws. Like, they're going to throw it, he's going to bite them, and then one of them will shoot it with a gun and explode just like Jaws. The idea of that alone, like, yes. Why do you need a goddamn catapult to do this? And it didn't work well at all.
No.
It actually failed miserably. That whole setup was ridiculous enough, but it also was a scene that I kind of enjoyed because that annoying ass family got picked off one by one, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Until eventually, you know, of course they win in the end. But that whole setup was just, like, so over the top, and everything was so obviously, you knew what was coming down the line. I guess it was a perfect ending for this movie. I mean, it wasn't the ending, yeah, but it was the setup for the ending. I don't know. What were your actual thoughts? I know you were kind of checked out at that point,
yeah,
too.
Meanwhile, it did. It is probably good to know. It took us 2 days to watch this movie.
It sure did.
We got halfway through. We're like, all right, we need a break.
I can't. Yeah. This is not a movie. Once again,
I think it was like 80 minutes, wasn't it?
It was eighty-eight minutes, because I remember it was just under an hour and a half. And that's how they get you. Like, these movies that are terrible are short enough where you can kind of almost justify it. You're like, that's not too bad. Yeah. I could watch this. But any other scenes you want to mention?
I mean, I guess we should close out the movie since, you know.
So explain what happened.
So basically, you know, even after, so they did the whole turkey thing. He got the one turkey in his mouth, shot it. Oh, that's what it was. When he shot the turkey that was in the shark's mouth, you see the shark floating down to
full body. So the shark did get shot in the mouth. All he has is, like, the cartoon style gunpowder,
like residue, yeah,
on his mouth. And he's just floating down to the bottom.
Ave Maria.
Oh, fuck. Yes, you're right. Oh, that scene. How dare they use Ave Maria like that? That's reserved for Hitman only.
Yeah. But then, like, the mother and the son, Cody, they're arguing, and they have the pen, and she throws the pen, and he was like, that was the last thing Papa gave me. And so she goes on to the deck below them to grab the pen and hand it to him. And that's when Santa Jaws comes back out. So he's not dead. So Cody decides to write in his comic book, whoever kills Santa Jaws gets a Christmas wish. So then he gets the lighter, he lights it on fire, and Santa Jaws blows up and then basically wakes up Christmas morning, and his whole family is there.
Yeah. And they don't, no one recalls anything.
Yeah.
My whole thing is, that whole time, all he needed to do was burn the comic.
Yeah.
Like, they did all this other shit, and once again, he could have just, you know, I don't know why I bother getting angry about it, but yeah, that's the end, yeah.
So, did you have any favorite kills?
I put it down as a favorite kill. The most entertaining kill was the brother getting speared with the candy cane. Once he had the candy cane horn and he jumps out and hits him with it. That's actually the picture that drove us to watch this movie. Because we saw the picture of the guy impaled with the candy cane spear and Santa Jaws. And we're like, all right, that's ridiculous.
That was my favorite kill too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because every other kill, literally for worst kill, I just have all of them. I don't have a worst because there are some kill. There's, of what'd we say, 11 kills?
Yes, 11.
I'd say 9 of them are people fall in the water. You see the fin. And then you just don't see anything. I'd say then there's some that, like, they jump out, like the grandfather gets grabbed. You see that. The mother's, like, getting eaten alive.
I put the worst kill was Georgia. The brother's wife.
Okay, yeah.
Santa Jaws is in the water, and he's got, you know, the Christmas lights wrapped around him. And all of a sudden, somehow he flings the Christmas lights like a lasso and
grabs her, pulls her in. And she's actually the reason they figured out Christmas things could hurt it, because she stabs him in the eye with it. She not only stabs him in the eye, she stabs his eye with this candy cane, which when you first see it, it's a normal-sized candy cane, but somehow it grew to, like, 4 feet. And she pulls out, and she's got the eye, so that's how they know. But, yeah, it fucking lassoed her with Christmas lights.
Christmas lights, yeah.
That was annoying, for sure. But, no, all the kills were terrible. And, once again, we know we're knocking a movie that's made for TV, probably had a budget of maybe $100,000, if that.
Well, look at Thanksgiving. They only did it on $3,500.
And it's a much better movie because the writers know how to make funny jokes. That's all I can say. I'm scared to ask you. But, Santa Jaws, what are you grading this piece of shit?
I'll say a D minus.
Well, there's no such thing.
There is.
There isn't, because that means failing. And whatever. I'm giving it an F. There literally is nothing redeemable. If you had any kind of, like, Monica and I are no strangers to watching ridiculous horror movies, obviously. But this is one where if we were even recommending it to somebody, honestly, I would just show them that picture that got us to watch it and say, literally, that's the only part you laugh at or are entertained by. Or, like, here's a highlight reel of some of the kills you do see, like the elf in Georgia. Yeah. Don't watch it. It's 88 minutes. I can't recommend it. You're nicer about these kind of things. Is there anything you could recommend?
I mean, it was pretty goofy. Like, there wasn't really... I don't think I'd ever watch it again.
No, there's no chance. I mean, unless one of us lose a bet and I say you have to watch it yourself, there's no chance you're getting me to watch this again. It's... Yeah. So that was Santa Jaws. Anything else you want to say about it?
Nope. That's all I have to say about that.
Good. I think that will definitely... All right, Forrest. That's how I feel after watching that.
Jenny.
Those are my special shoes.
Lieutenant Dan. Maybe that's where his legs went.
Your family has a notorious history of being bad at accents, and you're not helping it.
Lieutenant Dan, ice cream.
Get out.
All right, so you picked Santa Jaws. So what's your myth going to be this week?
Well, you and I agreed this month we're focusing on Christmas myths. Mm-hmm. It probably would have been easier to find, like, a shark myth, because we do have two myths picked out later this month.
Yeah.
But I found one that I thought was kind of interesting, and I think you'll like it. So coming to us from Iceland, we have Grýla. And she is the best way I'm going to describe her is a giant ogre witch. So she's actually was not always connected with Christmas. She's very dated, almost back to 1300s from Icelandic folklore. And she's been tied to a lot of Nordic poems and tomes that were like kind of handed down from generation to generation. Initially, she was always kind of a representation of the time of what's called Yule, which was also the old German word for Yule.
Yule, yeah.
So, you know, Yule is J-O-L, but I don't know the little umlaut that's above it or whatever. Essentially, she was like a representation of winter and that time where it's just darker. So she was like, you know, always this troll that would come down and attack children specifically. But it wasn't until about the 17th century, maybe 18th century, when she started getting tied to Christmas. Specifically, her role is to come down and snatch up any misbehaving or bad children.
That always seems to be like a theme, because basically like my two myths are going to be pretty much the same thing, like bad children and things like that.
And honestly, we've already covered a couple myths that cover the bad children angle. I mean, as we said before, I guess back in the day, you ain't got an iPad or some shit to give your kid. You just tell them there's a giant troll witch that's going to come eat you.
Duzanukwa?
Yeah, exactly.
The fact that I even remember that?
That's pretty damn good, actually. I'll give you credit. But yeah, here's a little interesting, like, one of the most famous sayings, if you will. Like, I guess it was an old Icelandic, almost like a trick or treat, smell my feet. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm not going to try and sing it because I don't know the melody to it. But basically it was, here comes Grýla down in the field with 15 tails on her. Down comes Grýla from the outer fields with 40 tails, a bag on her back, a sword and knife in her hand, coming to carve out the stomachs of the children who cry for meat during Lent. That's, you know, and there's a lot of different myths that tie to her. But that just is one of the poems that were pulled for her specifically for this episode. And her name Grýla actually loosely translates to growler. Because on top of just being giant, hideous looking, like think of Baba Yaga, like, you know, the crooked nose, like everything we think of as a witch. Imagine that ogre sized. But she also had a horned tail, and she was always seen walking around with a giant bag, and you'd always see kids like kind of hanging out of it. So that's another one, like old witches with bags and kids.
Yeah, they always have like knapsacks carrying the bags.
Always. Which leads me to be like, were a couple crazy bitches doing that? Like, why is that almost always?
I think, yeah, because even the other lady,
Duzanukwa had
not Duzanukwa. Was it Duzanukwa?
Who was the other one?
Within the bag. I don't remember, but I remember we did someone else that was carrying children off in a bag.
But that's my point. Is like, you know, I feel like, and this is not just for Europe or whatever. This is in almost every culture. There's some deity, which is a representation of an older woman, a hag, what's the word they use for when you're living in the woods?
Like a hermit.
Hermit, yeah. That, like, yeah, is seen as a loner that carries children off in bags. So, once again, she's been tied to Christmas. And what's really interesting is that she's also been tied to the Yule Cat and her sons, which were the 13 Yule Lads. Now, the 13 Yule Lads, they're essentially the equivalent to Santa Claus in Iceland. And if you ever see a picture of them, which I'll show you now, and there'll be a link below, they all have a look very similar to Santa, which they've actually been around longer than the Santa Claus myth. So some people have said when the idea of Christmas was coming around, what they actually look like, They softened up. They made a little more jolly, but they still have the same idea of, you know, a big bushy beard, overweight, red cheeks. But the Yule lads all had something tied to, I don't want to say they weren't evil. They were mischievous. Some of them had weird things, though. Like, one of them was known as pot liquor. And if you had anything, damn it. If you had anything left over, he'd come and, like, clean it up. Like, or eat it up. Then there was spoon liquor. Like, you're going to laugh at everything? Then there's bowl liquor, babe. Damn it. What about Sausage Swiper? You like him?
I love that one. That's my nickname.
But there's some that are like Door Slammer. So, once
they
again.
They kind of look like a cross between like Santa and like the Seven Dwarfs.
The Seven Dwarfs. That's very similar to, yes. There's Window Peeper. There's Skier Gobbler. And Skier is an Icelandic food. I think it's like rendered fat or something.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so these were her sons, and you know, the interesting thing is some look at Grýla as one of the first Icelandic feminists because she was on her third husband because she just grew tired of her first two and just ate them.
Just as I was gonna say, did she eat them?
She just was like, you bore the shit out of me. Like, I'm just gonna gobble your ass up. And
well, you evolved with sons like pot liquor and spoon liquor and
yes. Damn it, babe. And the Yule Cat, if you didn't know, is basically, that was a giant cat that would target anyone who doesn't have new clothes ready for Icelandic holidays. So if you didn't at least have, like, new socks, long underwear, or any type of, like, new things, he would target you. So some say, like, this was actually, like, a target to, like, exchange the shit we hate getting, like sweaters and socks. Like, that's been carried down since a tradition like this. So for whatever reason, that was a thing. But like I said, she wasn't always part of Christmas. She was really just personified darkness and that time of snow gathering and winter. Since then, she's really never made it famous, I'd say, in America. She still, to this day, is a big part of Icelandic tradition. And apparently, children are still pretty scared of her. Like, she's still used fairly frequently. Like, in America, we know about Krampus, especially because of the movie and some social media things. But we don't really have anything bad for Christmas. The worst thing is just that Santa's not going to give you a present.
Yeah.
But, yeah, especially in Iceland and other European places, which we'll get to, you know, these myths still go. So at this point, you know, Iceland kind of likes to say, like, Krampus would be intimidated by her,
mm-hmm.
or he'd be one of the husbands that she would eat. Like, they kind of, like, throw jabs at Krampus with her. But she's, like I said, reported and taken very seriously. So it's pretty interesting she's never made it over here.
Yeah.
Kind of curious why. But, I mean, I don't know. What do you think? Had you ever heard of anything like that?
No. Like I said, like, the two that I'm going to be doing this month are both very similar, just different origins.
Mm-hmm.
But same idea. Bad children, throwing them in sacks and things like that. So, but it's very interesting. So it's, like, basically the same thing as, you know.
Yeah. I mean, she... Once again, unfortunately, they are all tied to bad children and something coming, snatching them up. What I like is they always just eat the children.
Just eat the children.
Like,
yeah.
It's kind of funny. Like, well, it's not funny, but it's like, couldn't just taking them away be scary enough? Like, no, you had to threaten you were going to need to be eaten alive.
Well, let's face it. These kids is badass, so.
They are. They are, for sure. But, yeah, I think you're going to start dressing like Grýla, scaring the kids.
Scare them. only I am not a giant.
This is
the complete opposite.
We're going to get you some stilts. I would actually love to see you try and balance on stilts.
I used to be good at balancing. I think I actually had stilts.
What's the key word there?
used to.
Exactly.
I haven't tried to balance in a while.
Yeah, you know, we all used to be able to do shit. But that's why it'd be funny now.
Yeah.
I'd also really like to see you on one of those
hoverboards.
Yeah. I really want to see, because you're saying your balance is good. So that would be interesting. Though I don't want to see you hurt yourself.
Just wrap me in bubble wrap.
Yeah. So any questions about her?
No.
Any thoughts? Like I said, I'm going to put links back to our site of some of the actual poems. They're pretty interesting and in the same vein as Grimm's Fairy Tales.
Yeah.
Like very written like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
All right. So what spooky or haunted place are you going to do this week?
I decided to stick with Iceland here, and, you know, Iceland obviously is not very big. Can you even name one city in Iceland?
Reykjavik?
There you go. I was hoping you would at least get, because we've talked about it.
Which we have to go one time.
There was actually a few places in Reykjavik that I was going to pick, but this one, for whatever reason, maybe because it's tied to my, it's not tied to my myth, but it's, you'll see what I mean when I say there's similarities. I'm going to try to say it. It's Vitdorvet. That's the best way I can say it. It's a glacial lake.
Mm, nice.
Really, really beautiful place. I'm going to show you a quick picture while we're here. So that's actually the haunted part of it. But it is as...
Oh, nice.
It's basically one of the most... I mean... Iceland's filled with scenic places, but this is when you think scenic lakes with a mountain and everything. It's one of the most touristy spots outside of Reykjavik within Iceland. And within there is the oldest known built hut. And I'm not even going to try, you know, I will try say it. It's Vitarnes. And this is actually one of the most haunted places in all of Iceland.
Hmm.
So on this beautiful lake, you have this hut. There's nothing that seems out of place. Now, if you ever seen the movie Midsommar, you might look at this scene and say, this looks kind of creepy. Or like you and I, like if you remember from The Ring in the videotape, like the lighthouse.
Yeah.
And I almost get vibes like that when you look at it. Very unassuming. It's a well-built hut. And it actually is home to a lot of tourists, but almost identical to my story of the Vulcan Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
There's one particular room and one particular bed in said room that is haunted by a female. So those of you who don't know, like Iceland, once again, it's not populated. They obviously get really bad storms, really bad winters. So this young woman, no one knows her name, but they believe as old as the 15th century that she was out there in this hut and was basically stranded, trying to survive, eventually starved to death in this room.
Gotcha.
So this woman tends to prey on anyone that would dare go in this room, and her bed specifically was a bunk bed.
Hmm.
So this isn't like the last one where it's just men.
But this is everybody.
This is everybody. If you just go in that room on that bed, they've frequently seen her. She's a girl in gray. And even if you're not staying in a room, you almost always see sightings of her around the hut or near the lake. So, you know, this is one that even as recent as the 80s, people have reported sightings of this. What's really interesting is the Icelandic Touring Association. Like they're the biggest like tour providers.
Yeah.
Even on their main website, when you click on this lake, they talk about all the beautiful things. Here's wilderness. You can go kayaking, and here's a beautiful hut. And they have a whole section about like, but you may want to avoid this room because some people have reported that it's haunted.
So they are still just actively renting that room?
They're still renting out everything. You know, I'll actually, so here's pulled directly from the guide which is their one. It's like if our government had a building and said, so it says, north of the lake is the mountain hut Vitarnes, built by the Icelandic Touring Association, and it operated during the summer months. The hut has two floors. The upper is a single sleeping room for mattresses, and the lower has two separated ones. Along with the entrance, the lower floor also features a kitchen. Though kitchen utilities are not included, the restrooms are in separate buildings. Lore has it that the area of the hut is haunted by a young woman who is said to have died from exposure as she fetched water in a snowstorm. Several visitors have claimed to have felt her presence. I mean, that's kind of... I don't know if they almost do that to build it up, like, because they know there's a lot of people out there who would look for shit like that. But could you kind of imagine, like, stay at, like, one of our hotels, but just be aware.
Yeah.
Like, you would not see that on a government, like an American government site. I don't know. Like, there is something, of all the places we've done, we've usually talked about terrible things happening. Now, this is just, it's a woman, it sucks, she died from exposure. Yeah. But it wasn't a particularly violent death. But like you said, it's weird that it's so, like, it keeps happening.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you and I have talked many times about energies, but usually energies are going to be, these things get haunted by people that have been wronged.
Mm-hmm.
This is the weird kind where it's like, why would she still be around? Like, what purpose is there, you know?
I mean, you know, they always say that ghosts are basically around because they have unfinished business. So, you know, she died, you know, when she wasn't really supposed to. You know, she still feels like she has something to do here, or, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's so scenic, but it is, like, to me, of all the places we've seen, like, I'm looking at, it actually creeps me out, because maybe it is because of the ring or something.
Yeah.
It's almost, like, too perfect. Like, mm-hmm. the lake is picturesque, and you just see the mountains around it, and here's this lone-ass hut. Like, you're just like, Question. Would you stay in that room? Now that you've seen it from the official government thing, and I ask you this about all the places, but.
So, well, it sounds like it's more like just like a house.
Well, it's like,
yeah, it's like just a single house. So are they saying like the entire house?
It's a specific room where the bunk bed is.
Okay. So I would stay there, but maybe avoid the bunk beds.
Yeah, like I said, what I would love to know is, and I've been curious about this before, I guess my thought of ghosts have always been, they're like apparitions, like they're almost translucent, maybe white, maybe glowing, but like when you get to like, she's wearing gray. So I'm curious, like, are they, do you just see what looks like a regular person, or does she look like a ghost, you know?
I mean, I have seen, you know, whether or not they're true. Like, I've, you know, watched some of these, like, ghost hunters and things like that.
I've seen you watching these shows.
Yes. So, actually, one of the places I would like us to go is Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of...
Oh, of course.
There's a lot of sightings of ghosts there. And actually, that's one of the things I was actually on last night, one of the ghost hunter shows. They actually showed, like, someone taking video, and it's like a loop. It looks like a loop because they said there was, like, you know, 400 soldiers killed on this one field, which is, like, has a lot of activity.
Sure.
And, like, it literally looked like a person, but then they kind of faded away. So, I mean, it could literally be, you know, like, you sometimes see people, oh, this is a ghost, and you just kind of see a shadow in a picture. But then there's other times where it looks like literally people are just walking out of nowhere.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. But like I said, this one... But what drew me to this particular story, because I did read a couple, and in Reykjavik especially, there's a few interesting stories. But this one, it's a woman in the mountains, kind of, like near a lake. It kind of reminded me of Grilla. So I was kind of like, okay, it's semi-connected. She's not violent. Like I said, people just have reported, like, a presence that has disrupted them, or, like, not hurt them, but they felt her.
Gotcha. Like, okay, so there's no violent or anything.
Like the Vulcan Hotel where people felt like they were being strangled. This is just, and Is this weird to say? Like, well, if she's not hurting you, like, would it bother you as much?
I mean, is this a Dan Aykroyd situation in Ghostbusters?
Damn it. listen, spoon licker.
You're the spoon licker.
But no, for real. Like, what? Okay. We've always seen movies where it turns bad.
Yeah.
I'm not saying full Casper to Ghost where it's friendly. I'm saying, like, if you just had weird occurrences, and it was just weird stuff, but it wasn't anything that hurt you or truly disrupted.
I would probably check it out. Just, I am curious. So the same thing, like, I would really like to go to the Stanley Hotel one year.
Yeah.
And they have the haunted room there.
I feel like that's a more scary haunted room. Where what I'm saying is, like, if you were living somewhere and stuff started happening, but it wasn't even like I've known people who, even one of my aunts has reported, like, going in her kitchen and all the chairs were turned upside down. Like, yeah, no. That's where it gets almost that paranormal activity. Like, that, I'm not talking that shit. I'm talking just, like, you literally might just see a presence, but nothing ever really, other than seeing it once in a while. Would it be enough for you to fully, like, bug out?
Maybe, yeah, because that's just going to keep scaring the crap out of me.
Now, would you do that, or do you think you'd go the route, like, every horror movie where it's, let's try and figure out what happened here, and
get some priests, got my sage upstairs,
get shaman, I have some upstairs. Yeah. Like, you know, I am curious. Like, I know you and I always talk, but, like, what always seems to be the loophole in those movies is it's a family who just moved in a house. They don't have the money to go anywhere else. They're kind of screwed. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of the cases, we find out it's like, well, the ghost has attached itself to you, so no matter where you go, it's going to follow you. But if it was just like a place like, hey, we're here, it's a spirit, but it's not bugging anyone. Like, do you go right down, like I said, that rabbit hole? Are you trying to find people, or, like, are you trying to connect with it first? Like,
no, get out my house. get out my house.
I know. It is funny. You always see, quote-unquote, dumb things being done in horror movies. Mm-hmm. But in the heat of the moment, the rush of the moment, we like to think we'd be very cool, calm, and collected.
I'm telling you right now, I'm sleeping with all the lights on in the house. My energy bill through the roof.
Yeah. I don't know. That it is, it's interesting, because this one sparked my interest for the other reason that it's not a violent, malevolent force. It's just like, you said, maybe she is here because she feels like it's unfinished business. I don't know. But, yeah, from Iceland, like I said, it is nationally reported to be one of the most haunted places.
Yeah.
Enough that it makes its government website, so.
Also, I don't think Iceland has very violent people in general, so maybe their ghosts aren't as violent.
One of the places in Reykjavik, and sure, however many episodes down the line we'll probably cover, there was a whole, when the Spanish flu hit there, it took a big toll on the island, and there was, like, mass graves, and of course, they built over top of unearthed some of them, and that was the atypical. But I feel like there's so many cases of that, so I wanted to go with one that was a little different.
I feel like at this point, though, like, yeah, when you talk about mass graves, but the earth has been around for so long, like, pretty much, like, this house has got to be built on a couple dead bodies. Like, I feel like there's so...
There's always the difference of you build on top of something is not the same as digging them up and moving. Like,
yeah.
And that's obviously, like, with the poltergeist, they found this Indian burial and they disrupted it.
Yeah. Well, no, they just moved the headstones. They didn't move the bodies in poltergeist.
But, and, like, that's... yeah, I mean, that's one of those things where, yeah. Oh, not saying every death isn't violent, but given the amount of people, yeah, it's probably a pretty good chance that a lot of houses are built over top of things. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. But if we ever see some shit, get that sage ready.
Oh, I got it upstairs.
Babe, who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
No, spoon liquor.
Oh, shut up.
All right, so next week, Monica is up.
Yep.
Anything you want to tell everyone before? Give them a little hint.
No. Well,
it's safe to say we're sticking with Christmas.
We are sticking with Christmas.
Yeah. So. And much more well-known Christmas movie, myth.
Yeah.
So.
Although the movie and the myth are basically the same thing.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
All right. Well, with that, we want to thank you very much for listening. If you haven't already, please make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, and check out our website. If you can, give us a review. Hopefully give us 5 stars. Even if you want to bash us in the comments, we'd appreciate it. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, basically all social media. And we are going to say have a good night.
Until next time.